We're back with Total Information AM. I'm Megan Lynch. As political observers analyze Donald Trump's extraordinary comeback, they're also considering the reasons why Kamala Harris lost. While some are looking at policies, others are looking at gender. And was it the tone of the campaign that contributed, something that women fighting to break the glass ceiling have struggled with for centuries? With me now is Diana Carlin, professor emerita in communication at St. Louis University, author of Remember the First Ladies, The Legacies of America's History-Making Women. Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, Megan. Happy to be with you.
Now, she's a former prosecutor. Obviously, she's a tough lady, but on the campaign trail, was she too nice? Was she too positive? Did she fail to display that toughness?
I think in some ways she did. You know, she had ads that said she was a prosecutor. She talked about it in her speeches. But the judgment in terms of toughness really came down to policy. And, yeah, I think gender was an issue. Donald Trump certainly treated her as he treated other women, Hillary Clinton, Carly Fiorina, even a journalist, Megyn Kelly, with a certain amount of sexism. And, you know, that might have influenced a few people, but generally the toughness piece probably came down to the border issue and the fact that she had been given that as one of her responsibilities, and people felt that she had failed. And that's where I think the comparison on toughness probably came through, was Trump claiming to be, you know, much tougher and promising to be much tougher than what she was saying.
I want to get your response to something that Missourian Claire McCaskill said following Kamala Harris's concession speech. She said, "People don't trust women to be in charge of making decisions about life and death and crime." She goes on to say some other things. What are your thoughts about that statement?
Well, that certainly has been the case in the past. And I nearly wrecked my car in 1980 when I was listening to a story about Elizabeth Dole and the fact that she did really well in the Iowa straw poll, and these pundits were all talking about how well she did. They said, oh, a lot of it had to do with the fact that, you know, she'd been there with her husband and it was name recognition. They said that we can't have a woman as commander-in-chief. And they literally said that. And that has been, I think, one of the attitudes that women can't take us to war. History shows otherwise when you look at other countries. But I agree with the former senator that there is that prejudice that women are not capable of making some of those tough decisions. And as I said, when you get down to the policy piece, with immigration being one of the major ones, people just didn't see her as tough enough to deal with it.
You mentioned other countries. How do women rise to positions of leadership, especially in patriarchal societies? I'm thinking of women like Golda Meir, former prime minister of Israel. She was the fourth prime minister of that nation. You know, we now have the first woman elected as president in Mexico. A woman just won the presidency in Moldova. What made the difference in those cases?
Well, there are two differences. The first woman ever elected president was in Sri Lanka, and she was the widow of a very popular president, and then their daughter was actually elected. So if you look at Golda Meir, you know, she was tough. You look at Indira Gandhi, that was, you know, her father. She followed him. So we had several, Benazir Bhutto. We've had women who've come into office because of their fathers, or because of other men who have sort of appointed them. But in parliamentary systems, it's a lot easier because you don't run with the personality issues that we tend to have. And so women come up through the ranks in a parliamentary system through the party. It's a party platform. They represent the party. And there are a lot of countries where the Constitution actually says that a certain percentage of women will be in the parliament. So you've had a pipeline that we haven't had in the U.S. where you have to go win your seat as an individual candidate. So the structure of the parliamentary system often favors women because of constitutional gender mandates. And then you've had countries that have been used to monarchs. And so the thought of a woman at the top isn't as difficult to imagine. I've written, co-authored another book called Gender in the American Presidency, and when we interviewed some of the women who were being considered for the presidency or vice presidency in the U.S., one of them made the comment, you can't imagine what you have not seen. And we haven't seen a woman president. We haven't seen a woman act under those kinds of circumstances. So it's very hard to imagine a woman doing it.
I'm thinking of all the women out there right now who may be in leadership positions or want to rise to that. I'm curious about Kamala Harris being part of the Biden presidency, you know, being viewed as a partner of someone in their political twilight. Do women need to be aware of kind of the image that their mentors may superimpose on them?
I think that's an excellent question. And I think what, you know, the polling and other, you know, just commentary throughout the last several months shows is that she was tied to Biden. And historically, it's been very difficult for a vice president to win the presidency. George H.W. Bush was like the first one in 80 years or something who had tried. You know, Nixon didn't make it, and we'd had Hubert Humphrey didn't make it. And there have been others along the line who didn't. And you get tied to the bad things of an administration, and there were certainly issues, the economy, inflation, cost of groceries, that were tied to Biden. And she didn't have a good answer for it because she was part of the administration. And I don't think she did a good enough job of saying what she would do differently, how she would approach it. And you can't very well say, well, they didn't listen to me, or, you know, I didn't really have a chance to say anything, because then that's a position of weakness. So a vice president, by, you know, just by being in that position, has a tough road for winning the presidency.
I do think she faced criticism as well for not being specific on a lot of issues. My last question for you, Diana, is for women who supported her, did they put too much on her shoulders, expecting her to be kind of this every woman now for the United States?
I think so. I think everyone has wanted, women have been wanting to see a woman in that position for a long time. And women have been attempting it for a long time. And this was one where I think there was a lot of hope because she came out, you know, really hard charging. And so I think there was so much optimism at the beginning that they did put a lot of hope in her. And some of it may have been unrealistic given a lot of the circumstances and what was really fueling voters to get to the polls and to vote for change.
Diana, I've enjoyed talking with you this morning.
Well, thank you very much, Megan. Bye-bye.
That is Diana Carlin, Professor Emerita in Communication at St. Louis University and author of Remember the First Ladies, The Legacies of America's History, Making Women. Come